You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 21st of January, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I think I've been better. It's been a rough few days for a few reasons, but I do see light at the end of the tunnel. I think there's a lot of positive things going on. We need to focus on that more than anything else.
Well, I must admit, I was feeling a bit depressed yesterday. I really couldn't watch much of Biden's inauguration, and a part of me was really still hoping that there was going to be just mass arrests and all of them were going to be arrested and justice would prevail. But of course, we live in a fallen world, and as much as terrible things like this happen, we know that the dark forces, they have the rulership in this world. And also we know that in the other world, out of the mortal realm, we know that it's the good guys that win. It's the bad guys that win in the mortal realm, and in the eternal realm, it's the good guys that win. So I don't think any of us should ever forget that when things like yesterday happened. We should really be expecting the worst to occur. And we're going to be talking about this today and where we go from here. And there were two main points that I wanted to bring up, and then I'll pass it over to you for your commentary, Matt. And the first one is that our opponents seem to be pretty scared about something, judging by the headlines today. They seem to be very scared that QAnon is going to turn into JQAnon. They are very concerned that all the people that have been following Donald Trump and all the MAGA supporters are going to start putting two and two together about who it is in big tech that has been deplatforming them, and how they are related to people in the mainstream media who have been deplatforming them, and people behind the banks that have been deplatforming them, and looking at Biden's top 10 picks, his top 10 ministers all happen to be of the same ethnicity. So that is the first thing that they are worried about. Also, they will be worried that the supporters of the QAnon movement will be looking around and saying, well, hang on a minute, these guys look just like me. I'm sure 95% of the QAnon MAGA movement all happen to be white. So that is one thing that needs to be concentrated on, is pointing out to people the ethnic component here, and how what it is basically a big competition between the races, and our opponents are in the ascendant. And that's all they are, is our opponents. We shouldn't be trying to change them. They are our competitors, and when we resist them, we get stronger. So that is the first point. We need to be reaching out to these people and making them aware of the ethnic component in all of this. The second point is where I think we're going to see the Biden administration heading, and this has been signposted for quite some while now. The big tech companies are trying to implement the same laws that we have in Europe rather than upholding the First Amendment rights. And there's quite a big difference, actually, between the laws we have in Europe and the laws we have in America. In America, you cannot incite violence. And there was a particular case, Brandenburg versus Ohio, which basically identified that you had to be calling for direct violence against a specific person, and that is the only speech that is not allowed in America. Whereas over here in Europe, we have incitement of hatred, not incitement of violence, and they have to show that there is an intent to incite hatred. And that means that over here in Europe, we can't really use racial slurs. It's difficult to make jokes about race, anything that could be seen as minorities might not like. We have problems with discussing here in Europe. We have to be very careful about how we discuss it. And I think what Biden wants to do is not just have the big tech companies implementing this, which is what they've been doing on Facebook and Twitter. They don't remove accounts for violations of the First Amendment and actual calls for violence. They remove accounts for hurting the feelings of minorities. And I think what Biden is going to try and do is find ways to get around the First Amendment. There are all these progressive lawyers that have been coming out with all these inventive ways that they can circumvent that. So what I think American listeners need to be doing is watching their language and using the same sort of language that we use here in Europe. Obviously, we do this anyway here at Radio Albion because we go out to America and we go out to Europe as well. But people that are specifically our American listeners, I think they should be watching their language and making certain that, you know, it cannot be seen as being offensive in any way. You know, we can talk about our opponents, we can talk about our competitors, we don't have to use racial slurs, we don't have to come across as being hostile in any way to these minorities. And I think if people do that in America, then it's going to be very hard for Biden to come down on top of them. Obviously, he's going to go after the people that were involved in the protest at the Capitol. Hopefully, it would just be the people that actually went into the Capitol. But moving on from there, that's what I think needs to happen. People need to look at the language they're using, make certain that it cannot be misconstrued as being hostile in any way, and concentrate on the racial component in all of this. The racial component amongst us and the racial component amongst our opponents. Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
I think what you're talking about is something I've been talking about a long time, both maturity and civility. I've never used slurs. I've never, you know, raised my voice. The hatred that they claim that we all have is simply not present. Maturity and civility and staying calm and sticking to the truth and absolutely nothing else is what really I think is really what you're talking about here, which unfortunately for a lot of, especially our younger friends, is not a strong suit. But you talked about these people being our opponents and that they're never going to change. And especially at the elite levels, that's true. I think one of the key things our people have to do is identifying what evil is, understanding that the way that the ruling class functions is almost identical on an individual level to the way that a narcissist functions. The ruling class will claim to be justice incarnate, despite the fact that they know that they're not. This is just about power and control and profit. So what do they do to convince us that that's not the case? They'll simply project all their sins onto us. They'll blame us. They'll shame us if necessary. And if all that fails, they'll threaten us, like what happened at the Capitol. They'll redefine words. They'll flatter. They'll use labeling. And the words that they'll use, like, you know, calling the Capitol storm a terrorist act, which, of course, they weren't doing for any of the actual terrorist act that were going on all summer long. The deliberate inculcation of cognitive dissonance in our people, the rubbing our nose in it in the hopes that maybe one day some of our unstable people will lose it and do something stupid. I think, in fact, they're counting on that. And if it doesn't happen, they'll simply invent it. And like you said, if they're going to be doing this, you know, it comes down to the simple fact that they can't be – exposure is the worst possible thing for them. Although they seem to almost be courting exposure with the understanding that if they are exposed and nothing happens, then their control is absolutely complete. Michael Hoffman, the 18th century Rosicrucians, talk about the revelation of the method, that once they achieve a certain level of power, they will confess who they are, which is a big risk. But if nothing happens, that means that they have controlled our minds entirely. They're trying to short circuit our basic cognition. So we actually either surrender or, you know, actually be convinced that these people are harmless and that everything's okay. And, you know, in other words, rationalizing, not doing anything. The ultimate goal with us is to reach a point of abulia, as I've been talking about a long time. That's a lack of will and a lack of initiative that comes from exhaustion, that comes from believing that there's no chance, that there's nothing to fight for, and that it doesn't matter, and that it's not worth going to jail over something we can't control. And that's why we have to learn to identify these people, focus on these traits, and call them out when we see them in a very rational, very calm manner. Let them lose their minds, you know, like say in personal debate or something. Let them lose their minds. And all we have to do is just point out what they're doing, point out the traits that they're exhibiting, and realize that you're not really even talking to these people. You're talking to your audience. You know, if you're on Facebook or something like that, you stay calm and cool. Let them lose it. And you'll see and point it out. What are you doing that for? This is projection. You know that you're not telling the truth here. Let's focus on the issues and stick to the point. Don't let them distract you. Don't let them project all their own sins onto you. Point that out, expose that, and you'll see a lot of people starting to listen.
Yeah, it's important not to fall into the traps that they have already laid for us, not to use the language that they have already created for us. I find it interesting you point out there about the importance of being civil. And of course, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, everybody was being as abrasive as possible, as shocking as possible, in attempts to move the Overton window so that the Overton window would move and we could get discussion about immigration. We could get discussion about the degradation of our morals and all this sort of thing. We could get into just public discourse. And that happened, that the Overton window did move. And we've had the Trump presidency, and we're now able to discuss all these things that we weren't able to discuss in public before. And that means that there's no more need for us to try and shock people and move the Overton window and all the rest of it. Now we need to appear as civil as possible. And it's good to be like that. It's good to challenge yourself. It's good to grow your vocabulary and find new ways of describing what is going on and more accurate ways to describe what is going on. We have a lot of intellectuals within our movement. We have Dr. Edward Dutton. We have, Professor Edward Dutton now, and we have Professor Kevin MacDonald, both of whom are expert at ethnology and all the subjects to do with that. And I do recommend people read their books and study the language that they use, and that's the sort of way that we need to be talking about these things, and particularly to the QAnon types and the MAGA supporters. And I really, another thing I want to stress here is don't be mean to them. You know, don't lord it over them. They will have been, some of them will be absolutely heartbroken at what happened yesterday, and we don't want them to leave the movement and just want nothing more to do with politics. What we want to do is to explain to them why that happened yesterday and how Trump really didn't do that much for us. I mean, he held the forces at bay for a while, but he really didn't make that many changes. And the reason for that is because the system is set up so that the president can't actually make any changes. He couldn't get any of his people into the offices that he needed to get them into because he had to get them past Congress first and past the Senate first, and they weren't going to pass anybody that was actually going to stand up for the people. So I don't think we can really blame Trump personally for him not achieving what he really promised us that he would achieve. And I think we need to talk to these MAGA people, these QAnon people, and explain about the way that the system works. It prevented him from doing that, and how we need to change the system, basically. And it's more important to concentrate on what is happening around you and the community that you live in, and set a good example to your community, and understand who you are as a white man and what your strengths are as a white man and what your inheritance is as a white man. That is far more important than any of these supposed shared values that America has, is all the gifts that we have as white people. And we need to be using these gifts. We need to be charitable and merciful to our own people. And we need to be ensuring that our money just goes into our own community, and we don't frequent places that the money is going to get siphoned out of our pockets and into our opponents' pockets. You know, these are all very sensible ways that we can start building up a resistance to this, a non-violent, peaceful resistance. And the QAnon types and the MAGA types, they should be moving to our side. We should be in their chat rooms, talking to them, explaining to them about this, why it has happened, and the sort of things that we need to be doing to move forward to start making positive changes.
You know, if this would have happened to me, if this were 1990, or 1991, I would have fallen into the same trap. It took a long time to mature and to develop. And so to think that we lord it over them, or we insult them, or we call them naive. And you know, there's been a few times I've done that myself, and I've always regretted it. Because if there's one thing we need to be able to count on, is each other. And you stressed having, you know, actual physical contacts, not virtual ones, a plan in place if things were to really hit the fan. Local communal institutions that are not really advertised give us the peace of mind that if something really bad were to happen, we'll be okay. This is going to force us to completely, you know, step up our games, not just intellectually, but emotionally. You know, so our being educators, we've all experienced, people have now all become educators. There's a lot of young people who are completely alienated. I mean, they're alienated to begin with, but now they're not ambitious because they don't even know if they're going to have a country in a couple of years. They're deeply disaffected. And what that's going to lead mentally in the next few years is might be disastrous. Young people especially, we have to be able to get down to their level and slowly bring them. I mean, they're thirsting for the truth. Since everything is censored, a lot of these guys don't really know where to go. And that's a huge job that we have. If we maintain basic civility and almost, you know, I don't mean to say condescension, but condescension in the best way, to be able to talk to them at their level. I've always had a tendency, even when I was a professor, to speak at a very high level, forgetting that they're 18-year-olds. And I learned that really, really quick. That's a disaster. They have to realize that there's a lot of white pills out there. This is a time for, I mean, our media is going to be exploding. People are thirsting for the truth. They don't even know what the alternatives are. You know, they think conservative and liberal are the only two things in existence. But you also said something else that I've been saying for about 15 years now, is that things have changed so radically just over the last decade. We don't have a vocabulary yet to describe them. We're not talking about communism. We're not talking about anarchism. You know, some of the conservatives talking about fascism as if that's, you know, automatically a negative thing. They don't know the definitions of these terms to begin with. And what's happening now doesn't fit into any clear category. I also think we need to avoid hero worship, that we pick, you know, one guy that we follow completely. Although I do think we need to specialize. I think a key element here is figuring out what we do well, what policy area or aspect of this mission that we really are good at, and focus on that. Because there's simply so much information out there. We're being pelted by things every day. We're overwhelmed with information. And one of the methods that a narcissist will use to defeat us is exhaustion. Constantly throwing things at us, constantly changing their views. You know, one day they love the cops, next day they hate the cops, next day they love the cops again. And bring us to the point of confusion and really victimhood. That's like you're being mentally raped by these people. The double standards are being rammed down our throats. And that leads to, you know, but what a victimization is, you know, exhaustion, self-doubt, self-hatred, depression, extreme anxiety, almost like a PTSD kind of thing. And we have to be cognizant of that when we're dealing with our people, especially younger people, especially people who are just getting, there's so many people now who are being political for the first time ever because they're frightened. This is being just put right in their face and they're almost being dared to do something about it. These are the people, especially the sensitive people, that we have to approach as teachers, and we have to be very careful. These people are victims. These people are hopeless. They're depressed. You know, it's like they've been raped. What kind of personality does that create over time, especially if you think you're all alone and you don't have the support system and you think you're a loser or an idiot because you don't agree with what everyone else is saying? You're being bullied. You're being attacked. You're being threatened. You're being blamed. They're shaming you. What do you do? That's a key issue that we all have to be thinking about all the time.
Well, there's been an explosion in alternative media. Gab have had millions of new people sign on with Gab. I think 25 million new signups at Gab, and the same with Telegram. They're trying to remove Telegram from the Apple store, I think, but I think they will have problems with doing that because it's not strictly a platform in the way that Twitter or Facebook is. And all these groups are on there. So hopefully people that are on Telegram will be able to join these QAnon groups and these MAGA groups and start explaining to them about what's really been going on, and also directing them to our own websites. I mean, thankfully, Radio Albion has always had its own .com. We never relied upon YouTube or on Facebook or anything like that. So we couldn't be deplatformed. And I can see that there will be more people that set up websites like ours where people can go to get good information and also get that sense of community as well. And you were saying there about how important it is to actually take this offline and have communities offline. And that is where everything should be heading towards. I know in America they've got the National Justice Party there now. I should imagine that they pick up a lot of people from this. I mean, there's a huge movement there, isn't there? There's a huge movement, and you've got Nick Fuentes, and at the head of it, you've got Donald Trump. And I would hope that he would continue to do things, and perhaps people will coalesce around him. And even Donald Trump himself must be a lot more awake to the problems that he was facing now. I mean, he must be, after seeing what's gone on in the last 4 years, just how corrupt the system is. I mean, we could see him come back as a far more racialized person than he ever was before. I mean, you would think that he would be after seeing all of that. I know the signs are telling us different with him pardoning all these black rappers on his last day. So you've also got this disappointment in Trump. But that movement is still there. All those disgruntled people, all those people that can see that the original values that America was built upon have all been upended. And I mean, just the value of truth. To claim that Biden won this election when everybody could see that Donald Trump had 88 million Twitter followers and Biden had 20 million, it is just so obvious that there's been a massive fraud that's going on here, and nobody's going to do anything about it. They don't care about it. In fact, they're proud of it. They're proud of what they've done. As you were saying, Matt, it shows the level of control that they have, that they can be as open about it as they have been and know that they're quite safe and nothing is going to be done to them at all about it. So what we have to do is just say, well, this is the way that it is now. This is the way the laws are. But as long as there are white people around, as long as there are racialized white people around that are not going to breed outside of their race, that are going to ensure that other white people that they meet learn about their heritage and understand their strengths and what they're capable of, all the while we are around, then, you know, we can't ever go extinct. We can't be wiped out. So long as we start looking after our own people and start advocating for our own people, you know, they really can't harm us. So long as we stick within their laws, they'll try and fit us up. And this is another thing that needs to be stressed, especially to the younger members of our movement, is that in these chat rooms, there will be lots of federal agents that are trying to foment violence and trying to get people to carry out violent acts. And that is the way that they operate. And Biden is going to put lots of money into this, and he wants to treat he wants to treat half of America as domestic terrorists. All the people that supported Donald Trump, he wants to designate as domestic terrorists and put into action a plan to subvert them all and put them all under surveillance. And we know that what this means is that there'll be agent provocateurs everywhere. So whatever happens, don't think of carrying out any violent act that is going to solve any of our problems. All it will do is create loads more. They will be looking for excuses to bring new laws in, and there's no better excuse to bring in a repressive law than some violent act on the part of the group that you're trying to bring this law in against. I mean, even if none of us go out and do anything like that, then what they will do is they'll try to set up a false flag and implicate us. So we really need to be on our guard for that. Don't fall for any of their tricks. Anybody that is encouraging violence at all, have nothing to do with it. I mean, even protests at the moment, I would say people shouldn't get involved in protests. I mean, I've been saying that for a while because it means that the left can take pictures of you, you're identified, you can be doxxed and all the rest of it. But with these recent ones in America, they have been so huge, they've been so massive, that it has been worth people actually going along to. But they're not. I don't see that we are going to have any massive protests anymore from now on in. Protests, I think, will be used by our opponents to gauge exactly who it is that is on our side, so that they can then get a knock at the door from the FBI and fit them up for things. So I wouldn't advise people on going on any protests, but just networking and trying to provide some support to these people that, you know, really did believe in Donald Trump and have really been let down. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Matt, and on the protest side of things.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Like I said, what the regime is doing is they're rubbing our nose in it. And one of the purposes that they have is to create such anger and anxiety in our population that some of the weaker ones will do stupid things. So if someone's advocating violence, it's one of two things. Either they're working for the regime, they're trying to get us to do something stupid, or these are very, very hurt, victimized people who don't know what else to do. And that means our people have to do a few things. They have to examine themselves closely. They have to be their own worst critic. They have to understand the value that they have. I mean, not everyone's a leader. Not everyone's an intellectual. Not everyone's an activist. Not everyone wants to go to jail. Not everyone wants to be public, all the rest of it. They have to avoid alcohol. My God, avoid alcohol at any cost, because so many of these problems come from that. And understand that the very act of having a family and being stable and rational, that by itself is a subversive act. Having strong relationships by itself is a subversive act. But violence is absolutely absurd. They're dying for one of us to do that. And I'm convinced they're doing everything in their power to create such anger. Just, you know, rubbing our nose in this to the point where some, especially younger people, may lose it. And I think they're counting on that. And I'm keep going back to this idea that our mental state has to be examined and we have to take it very, very seriously. Now, you know, in 1989, there was almost nobody who thought that the USSR was anything but stable, a monolith that was going to be around for a long time. Very few people, no one mainstream. But without a shot being fired, that entire empire fell to pieces in a few months. There was no violence there. No one was shooting up the place. The only place there was any violence really was Romania. And that was minimal. These things can happen. These things can change very quickly. The system collapsed under its own irrationality, under its own totalitarian structures. We're in a system right now that can't even deliver the economic goods anymore. So the one thing they had to offer us, the carrot that they had, doesn't exist anymore. Even the middle class has nothing to lose in pulling themselves away from the day-to-day life of the regime and creating their own institutions. Get away from that damn television. Get away from pop culture. You know, as much as humanly possible. Especially when it comes to raising kids. You know, if I can do it, anyone can do it. And that's, you know, so our mental state, how we approach this kind of thing, anger, anxiety, that kind of thing, has to be held in check, and we have to take that very seriously.
Well, you're pointing out there about how the Soviet Union fell, Matt, and I think a large part of that was the Samizdat. It was the underground propaganda that was being put out there by the printing presses and being smuggled in from abroad. And we have that, you know, we have that here now with the internet. We have our own propaganda. We have our memes. We know that the left, they can't meme. They can't be funny. And we have people that put out fantastic memes that, you know, they really wake people up. Humor is a very good way to wake people up, mocking our overlords and the things that they do. And so long as we can still keep a foothold on the internet, then I think, you know, we do stand a chance of waking more and more people up. And a similar thing could happen that did happen to the Soviet Union. That's why it's so important that we have an alternative media and that we continue to support the alternative media. Our donations have gone down a little bit over the last month because the Bitcoin price has gone up. And I know Red Ice must be suffering from this as well, and they've just had to move. So people that are in work and can't do anything to risk that, they can't go out and make a name for themselves or post on Facebook or what have you, then they should really think about donating to the alternative media, because we do need funds to keep us going. I mean, I know you, Matt, you, everything that you do is funded by your listeners, all the research that you do. It's the same over here with Patriotic Alternative. All these alternative media people and all these activists that are speaking up for white people out there. We do need funds. We do need help, and it would be much appreciated if you could afford to, that you would send us some. Matt, have you got any final thoughts that you'd like to finish with on the podcast today?
Well, that's very important. I mean, not everyone can be out there fighting full time. Not everyone can come up with a unique product that people need right now. But you damn well can, if you have the means, support those who do, understanding that you're not lesser for doing it. Everyone who's out there full time is sacrificing a lot, including their own mental well-being, for the sake of doing this. All of us who are doing this require this kind of support. My listeners have been very good that way, and I still can barely get over it. And the boost mentally that gives people like me is valuable as the money that's sent. And that keeps us at a high level of morale, that keeps us focused, that keeps us scrupulous with our behavior, what we do with that money. And it's essential right now. And I don't just mean financial support, but assisting us in any kind of online debates or, to jump in on our side, to defend us when we're being defamed elsewhere. That's extremely important. And so we say support, we're talking about all forms of support. And I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, it's very important. And it's good to let us know that we are appreciated. It gives us encouragement. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.